This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We're at the point right now with this organization where giving up a draft and a half to get a player like that to be the closer, right? The one player that comes in to get you over the finish line, not unlike what Saquon Barkley was in free agency for the Eagles last year. That's what these teams are looking for, are those one or two defining players that take you to the next level. And certainly he's one of them, but it's a boatload. It's a truckload of picks. It's a truckload of money. I'm not sure there's a lot of GMs or front offices right now that would actually pull that trigger. But, you know, we've seen them do this with Von Miller one time in free agency. We've seen one big swing. Why can't there be one more?
Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack with Mike Shope and the Bulldog yesterday. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Talking about Myles Garrett and the idea of a big fish right there. Mentioned DK Metcalf last segment. You can give us a call on the Four Nations if you want to throw something our way. We gave our review of it. Great game. Great. I mean, so far the tournament looks awesome. It's going to be a game tonight between the U.S. and Finland, then a doubleheader on Saturday and a doubleheader on Monday, I believe, President's Day.
I think that's right. Yep.
All the way down to the finals. So we'll see how it goes. But one game in, the level of hockey, the buy-in from players, it's awesome. It was great last night. Canada wins in overtime. So if you want to throw a thought on that, we're happy to have it. But on, Metcalf, maybe that one is just something we should push to the side.
Yeah, because even if the coach having a plan for him and kind of foreseeing that working doesn't mean they'll agree on money, right?
Like, no, that's right. That's right.
So that would mean for this year, you might think it's more likely that he's on the team. Mike McDonald, I'm sure the head coach, would know where they stand or what the chances are of having a long-term relationship with him if that's the question he's asking a potential offensive coordinator.
Right. How are you best going to use this guy?
Yeah. So he would have, I'm sure, a pretty good idea, but he's not under contract yet. Like, if I don't know what he's going to want or what they're going to be willing to pay him. They do have another great wide receiver in Jackson Smith and Jigba who will be approaching an extension when they'll have to pay Metcalf after this season. So, you know, teams can figure out a way to pay two receivers. The Eagles did it, right? They have Brown and Smith, and they have the big quarterback contract that the Seahawks don't.
Right, the Bengals did it. Even though Higgins is going to leave, they just had him on. Well, I guess that's not true. Higgins was on a franchise tag, and Chase is on a rookie deal. So I take that back. Never mind. The Bengals probably should do it.
They could do it.
They could do it.
They're just choosing.
In fact, to that point, Joe Burrow is out here openly campaigning that they do what the Eagles do. Which, what is the Eagles' model? Pay everyone on offense.
Yeah.
And draft defense with a couple of pieces in there. You're going to pay, but the Eagles paid everybody on the offense. That is
everybody.
Two top 10 receiver salaries, an expensive offensive line, a $50 million quarterback, a high-paid running back, a high-paid tight end. Like, the Eagles have pushed a lot of money into the future and made it all about maximizing their window here, and they've made a pair of Super Bowls, and they got to win now.
Yeah. So circling that back to the Seahawks, I feel like they should have the financial flexibility to just pay Metcalf 30, what's the number on that? 30, it's 30 at least, right?
I mean, it'll be his third contract, not his second contract. So to me, that's
yep.
You know, he's not highest paid in the league caliber kind of guy on this next deal. Maybe he's a deadline guy. Maybe it's a next year idea for DK Metcalf to leave Seattle. But right, like you said, as we've kind of laid out, their head coach saying that the offensive coordinators got the job in part based on how they answered the question, what would you do with DK Metcalf? You know, that was important to them.
And I don't think the way they talked about it, like, it's not the same as, you know, Lindy Ruff, when he showed up, got asked about Jeff Skinner a couple of times, right? And he gave you the, oh, I think Jeff's a good player, good goal scorer. Like, that was, okay, you had a different plan for him. You're going to get asked about it. You don't want to be, you know, throwing the guy under the bus yet. Like, the way the Seahawks are it's not like, hey, what do you think of DK Metcalf? Oh, he's a pretty good player. Like, I think it sounds like it's going beyond that. I'm rooting for it to get ugly, though. Like, I'm rooting for, you know, I guess it would be tough, right? Because how would it get ugly? If they like him and they want to use him, then the only way there could be a divorce here would be if they're just so far apart on money. And then, okay, if he, like, because I love him as an idea for the Bills. Like, I think he is the perfect type of receiver for what they need. They need down the field, and they could use a guy that I think is a number one on the outside. And even though he's not the best in football, I think he's a perfect skill set. But if he works his way out of Seattle because he's saying, I want $35 million a year, and they're saying, yeah, we're thinking like 28.
Well,
do you want to get him if it's going to cost you $35 million? Like that, that might be the only path to him getting out of Seattle right now.
No, and I don't think the Bills are going to be. I mean, I'm not interested in him at that price. The bigger question, Garrett, Max Crosby, Metcalf, do you expect Bean to do something big? Leave a blank space there. Just big trade. Big free agent signing. Mm-hmm. Do you expect we can make this signing Josh Sweat if you want to do that? I mean, a fish, right? A guy that's coming off a Super Bowl win. What do you think about the Bills landing a big fish in a trade or a free agent signing? And the options I've presented at the Twitter poll are you expect it, you demand it, you expect it and demand it, or you're really more thinking about the draft. It's not about the trade and free agency route for you. It's more, you know, take a bunch of guys, let's build this defense up, finger quotes here, the right way, no shortcuts. You know, where are you on this? I fully expect them to do something large.
Yeah.
I don't think Brandon Bean can help himself. The big baller Bean stuff is kind of a funny meme and maybe gets overplayed a bit, but he gets that reputation because, you know, he made the trade for Diggs. He made the signing for Vaughn. He made all the moves to get up to get Josh. He trades up all the time, not huge trade-ups, modest trade-ups, whether that's for Elam or Kincaid or even
Edmonds.
Dawson Knox, right. Edmonds. Right, like this is a team that usually sees what it wants and goes and gets it. And I think there have been a couple of years in a row here where maybe the thing that they wanted was just out of their reach, whether that's Trent McDuffie or the receiver, Brian Thomas Jr. this year, right? Maybe they wanted that, and that's why they ultimately trade down. I think they've been responsible for a couple years in a row, basically since signing Vaughn, right? No real big move since signing Vaughn. Is that wrong? Connor McGovern?
Nothing that qualifies on the level that we're talking.
Right. Vaughn is the big whale move. Mitch Morse was a big move at the time, highest paid center. I think they are due to make a large move. And listening to Mike Gennetti yesterday, who we just played, Joe, listening to him talk about the AFC.
Yeah.
How, well, the Chiefs are in real trouble in the cap. They're old. They're gonna be good. They're still going to be good. But they're going to go ahead and kind of start to do this thing again where they have to draft a tackle and part ways with some older players, and Derrick Henry's not getting any younger, and the Bengals have a lot of work to do on their defense. He kind of laid it out, and when we talked to – who did we talk to yesterday? Stephen Ruiz,
yeah.
He said, I think it's the Bills' time. And if it's the Bills' time and it lines up that way and they went through their transition year and now's the next step, then I think that next step commands a signature piece. And I fully expect Bean to do something to to land a signature piece. So
I think I'd be surprised if he didn't. I think I'd be surprised if even Josh Sweat, who's a good player, if their biggest move was anything less than that between now and training camp, I would be floored. I don't know. Like they've escaped all this dead cap. They have this need for star players. There are enough of them available, or that become available in an offseason. And Bean, like you said, is shown over time to be aggressive in situations like this. I still think back to his end of season press conference when he didn't outright say it, but he said, like, when talking about the receivers in the offense, like, oh, we might have been really close though on another deal. Like, he kind of led you to believe that he was right about to trade for Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
And how different, I mean, that we would add that to the list if he had been here, right? Because if you think about Cooper in that way, Cooper, when they trade for him, if that had just gone great, that would just be added to the list, right? Like, if they had envisioned what they would have envisioned for him when they traded for him, you know, might be a good question. But if Amari Cooper was just a 1,200-yard receiver when they acquired him, we would just add him to the list. Like, oh, that was them going out and getting a number one receiver when they could. Had they traded for Devontae Adams instead, and he was open all the time and was getting way more targets than Cooper ended up getting, like, we'd add that to the list. Like, I think Bean went Rasul Douglas the year before, right? Like, that is, we need a corner. Let me go get the best veteran I can get my hands on. I'll give you a day two pick. Like, I just think he shows that when he needs something, he's gonna go get it done.
Yep.
Well, he's gonna try to go get it done. You can't control everything, but he's pretty good. He's pretty good at getting it done. Like, it's a good comparison to the hockey team right now. Like, you can want to do something big all you want. How good are you at executing it? And I feel like Bean's shown that he's got a pretty good hit rate, that it's not just wanting to do it, not just having the phone call with the other GM. Like, you got to beat the market to get some of those deals done.
Yeah.
And
if not,
I trust him to do that.
If not a good hit rate, at least a good swing rate. He swings, you know? He's going to swing for that. And
yeah.
I fully expect it this year. Sometimes it gets treated as, and I think it gets oversold, are you going to mortgage the future? Didn't we watch the Bills mortgage the future? They kind of did when they extended Diggs and they signed for Vaughn and all these things. They just paid the price of all that mortgaging of the future. And what did they do? They got to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
So I think it's always oversold. The cap stuff is oversold. They just took their medicine. The fact that I like to point out the Diggs trade. The Diggs trade is another example of no half measures. Why'd they do it? Hey, we can get a second round pick and we can, this transition year we're already going to be going through, we can go through it even more and have a bigger cap hit all smashed into 1 year instead of over 2 years. Let's take the whole hit now. Let's do it all right now.
Yeah,
that in a different way, is that not like a go for it? Hey, let's go for it. Let's take as much dead cap as we can right now. We're all in for dead cap because that'll help us next year. I think it's kind of in Bean's DNA. And the Bills, I mean, last year would not have been sold as a win now year until, you know, you get further into the season. And I think this year coming up is a win now year. And if you want to say it's a 3-year little mini window, and then maybe there's a transition afterwards where Josh Allen is the MVP again and they go to the AFC Championship, whatever. I just think they're entering this win now window and identifying core pieces. And somebody that's in the league now is going to be part of that core. Whether that is Crosby or Garrett, maybe not DK Metcalf. I don't know about – I'd be surprised about T. Higgins myself. But I just think they're going to swing big. They have to. I think they have to. It calls for it, and the GM has, you know, the guts for it.
I wonder, too, like, when they think about this, how much would they be thinking about other teams? Maybe not, but, man, watching the Super Bowl and watching that whole Chiefs season, knowing they beat the Bills, I want to feel like this is an offseason where you have an opportunity to jump them. You know, like you haven't, and you've never beaten them. And even if they did on paper, we still wouldn't believe it until we see it, that they could beat them in the postseason. But that roster's got holes too, and it's got a lot of them on offense. And maybe Kelce retires, you know, like that. I don't know how impactful you think that actually even is to their offense right now, but
Kelce has to retire, does he not? The Chiefs probably don't want him back. He's
without saying it, right? Because they would never I saw he has like a really low dead cap number, so it's like an out. But they're not just gonna cut him.
They save, I think, $17 million. Let me double check that. But we've got clips from the game where this dude didn't try. He mailed in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He was terrible in this game. His effort on blocking, his effort on routes, I can't imagine a world where they want him back other than, I guess, as a legacy player. His cap hit is 19.
Yeah, no, you will come back at $7 million as like an end of season, retire as a Chief if you still want to play. But would they even feel like that's insulting to him?
Yeah, he's going to be 36. And last year, you know, granted he had that game on Christmas against the Steelers where he had a good day and made a guy miss a tackle, like the slowest missed tackle of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. Do respect him. He's been an incredible player. He's one of the best tight ends of all time. I think they're done there.
I think they're done too. I think the good news for them is like they're not barren at pass catcher. Like,
no.
Worthy doing what he did in year one would make me optimistic. Rice existing, although I think he gets suspended and he's still coming off the injury, so that's kind of a question mark. But that's kind of it, isn't it? Like, that's where I would wonder, can the Bills jump them at least on paper, you know? Because, sure, the Bills have their holes. They could use some stars on defense. Garrett would be great, obviously. But the Bills don't have, like, a ton of work to do, you know? Like, they have some things. They need the star player. Kansas City, I don't know. I feel like they need two more pass catchers. They need a bunch of linemen up front. They could use a running back. They don't have to go crazy with that, but they could definitely use a running back next year. That's most of it. Like, I think the surrounding infrastructure around Mahomes on offense kind of has to be rebuilt. And I don't feel like the Bills have to rebuild anything on offense or defense. I just think they need, like, a guy. And I want, what's harder, building up like a whole unit or building up or just landing one guy? Because there aren't many, you know, Myles Garretts that are going to be available. If you don't win those sweepstakes, if the Browns say, yeah, we want to trade him to the NFC, like, you might be stuck. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, we just can't get a star. Max Crosby's not available. They want to trade him to the NFC. What are we supposed to do?
803-0550-1888-550-2550. The poll we posted about this, you know, are you expecting or demanding? 39% expect the Bills to land a big fish. Yeah. Another 26% expect it and demand it. Another 18% demand. I've got 16%. That's it. Saying, let's talk about the draft instead.
Is expected though only defensive end?
No,
like
no.
How many positions would you expect? Like, we just kind of said, like, T. Higgins, we don't really expect that, do we? That would answer that's a big move, but it's a position where maybe we don't think they do it. Like, we don't think they'll do it at running back. We don't think they'll do it anywhere else on the offense. Like, would corner be the only other one? Like, I'm not expecting them to do something huge at safety.
But maybe
I'm wrong on that.
I'd put corner, I'd put safety, I'd put defensive tackle, I'd put everything on the defense here, possibly. What about Justin Reed, safety for the Chiefs, UFA? Wouldn't shock me at all. Like, that would be a big move to go out and sign him. DJ Jones is a defensive tackle for Denver. Maybe he's not exactly like a household name, but I think that this team is going to go out and use free agency the way they did when they brought in Beasley and Sanders and, I mean, even guys like, I said Mitch Morse earlier. I just think it's going to be a year where there are going to be NFL players that are added to this roster.
Yeah. I guess safety will be an interesting one because, in essence, or in theory, I would think, I don't want to care about who's already there if you could tell me the best player you could get is a safety and I can get a star at that position. If Javon Holland wants to come here, then I think I just want to do it. I guess that's where I'm not expecting it, though. Like, end, defensive tackle, corner, very easy to just plug in a star and the depth chart just kind of makes sense. Whereas to expect them to add a big name safety would be to expect them to say, to call it quits on a second round pick this quick. And I feel like that might be a little aggressive, even for them.
Did they not, I mean, call it quits or just have him as depth? They drafted Rousseau and Basham, and then the next year?
2 years later,
no,
I think.
Was Vaughn.
Basham played, I think, 2 years for the Bills, and then they traded him for like a sixth, right? Like it wasn't much. That second year, though, you know, when he's on the team, how much does he play? He's active for 15 games, and
well, I guess
he's on the field.
To answer your question though about calling it quits,
he plays 40% of snaps that second year for the Bills.
I don't think it means they have to call it quits on Cole Bishop, but what you're about to say about Bishop is the same thing I would say about Coleman, which is, you should absolutely hope and believe that there's a lot more there. There's stuff coming from their game, but I don't know that either one of them should stop you from just immediately getting better. Should I not do something because I'm, well, Coleman is supposed to fill in that role. I've got Josh Allen in his prime off an MVP season, and the AFC is mine for the taking if I make the right moves. I can't gamble with these younger players definitely making that jump. I'd like them to, but I'm not positive they will, and I can't stop myself from signing a stud that would come here on the hope that that guy does it.
I guess the only difference there for me would be that receiver, if you let's just say they sign T. Higgins, Coleman still plays. He wouldn't play as much. He wouldn't have as many targets, but he would still get on the field and have an opportunity to grow and to develop and to have some sort of impact, even if it's more specialized. Versus if they sign Javon Holland, Cole Bishop doesn't play all season unless there's an injury. Like unless you're making him like a. Well, I guess you could do this. If you see value in him and he looks like he's growing and making steps, but you've signed Javon Holland, do you want to do the thing with him that they've done with like all these other safeties recently, like make him a big nickel or whatever?
It's in the mix. 803-0550 to join us, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. It's messy out there, so plan accordingly.
Oh, the James Cook news has hit the big wire.
I saw Rappaport has it. Yeah. James Cook wants $15 million.
Well, because he doubled down. He tweeted and retweeted yesterday about wanting $15 million a year.
All right.
So he went from Instagram to Twitter now. He wants everyone on all platforms to know that he wants $15 million per year.
Okay. Let's talk about that on the other side. Not just that he wants it, how he's already decided to tell us.
Yeah.
803-0550, Jeremy and Joe, Four Nations underway. It was great last night. You want to give us a thought on that, you can. We'd love to hear from you. Phones are open for you. Give us a ring. 803-0550 on WGR.
You have to consider the context of the team. I think if you have a passing game where you have playmakers who can consistently produce explosive plays, you don't really need that special running back who can turn a 4-yard gain into a 25-yard gain, right? But if you don't have those guys, and Buffalo has kind of been struggling to find that guy, you saw that with the trade for Amari Cooper, which didn't really work out, although he gave you a couple of splash plays when he first got there. I think you have to consider it. I think you have to consider maybe overpaying a running back who can turn those 4-yard gains into 25-yard gains.
Stephen Ruiz with us yesterday. Stephen Ruiz of The Ringer. All right, so James Cook, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. So yesterday it was a little clunky, Joe, to say James Cook has indicated via an Instagram live feed where he pinned his own tweet claiming he wants $15 million a year.
Yep.
You hear that, you're like, he wants $15 million. It's much more clear when instead on Twitter he reposts with the 100s emoji, like, you know, hey, this is on point.
Four times he did the 100s emoji.
Four 100 emojis to someone, Poppy, that tweeted, if you think James Cook ain't worth 15, you must have been dropped headfirst through a table. Pay him.
Yeah.
So that's a little easier to say, like, okay, he wants $15 million a year. Which yesterday, a lot of the station, a lot of the talk around, I mean, the station, and now maybe the league gets into this, should James Cook get $15 million a year? That is top two running back money. My question now is this: how do you think the Bills like this public pay the man?
Because that is not, man, we talked about how they don't have really any like holdouts or things get ugly once like offseason stuff shows up, over contracts at least, right? Like you had one day at minicamp with Diggs 2 years ago, and that's kind of it. When, man, has there been something like this for a guy? I'm sure there's been something over 7 years, right?
Like the biggest I've got is Cole Beasley. It got ugly at the end.
Okay. Yeah.
He was given permission to seek a trade, and
yeah,
but not. But even
Quentin
then,
Spain, it got ugly with, didn't it? When at yes. the end, because he guard talked, for the Bills wanted to start, and he wasn't.
He signed and then immediately left after signing, and then talked some stuff on the way out or after he left. But yeah. here's a player on the team. You would say part of the core, publicly negotiating slash whatever. And right after McDermott gave him so much credit for being laser-focused and locked in, listen, I'm not one to have any problem with Cook wanting to get paid, wanting to get his next deal.
Yep.
The Bills, though, having a problem. Hey, man, let's. Why do we say we don't do this on Twitter?
Yeah. Why don't we? Isn't that what you would assume they would have done in, like, the last? Well, I guess maybe not. He tweets, what, 24 hours after Instagram? So, like, if there was a message of, let's do this in-house, you know, let's talk to your agent, whatever, and then, you know, the next day he's tweeting about it again, you know, I do wonder how they'd feel about that. Maybe they just are okay with it. Like, mm-hmm. you heard Dawkins trying to pitch Myles Garrett the other day. Like, the Bills let you be you. So
right.
how far does that extend? If being you is yelling on social media about how much you're worth, maybe the Bills are the type of organization like, yeah, that's fine, I'm good with that.
Right.
I'm good with you being thinking you're worth that and being that competitive about it. Doesn't mean we'll give it to you. I would hope it means that they're not going to give him $15 million a year. I think it would be insane if they gave him $15 million a year.
I agree with that. Insane.
Also, given that that is clearly where his number is at. So if there's any meeting of the middle on an extension, like if they signed him for $15 million a year, it would feel like James Cook, you know, it would feel like they were desperate to sign James Cook.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think.
I can't envision any scenario that they do.
Sign him at all or sign him
for
$15 million
a year?
I can't decide if I think they're going to sign him at all or not. Like, the way this has already started. Because I don't have a good sense of what the Bills, like, do they have a rule against signing running backs to a second extension? Do they, would they do it under, like, a real strong hometown discount situation? Like, where we do it for 8, we do it for 9, but the way that this is starting, if that's their approach, I mean, they're pretty far apart. You know, like, he's getting this year, in year 4 of his rookie contract, his salary, I think, is just over $5 million. So the idea, no, that's not right. It's higher this year than the other years. But no, yeah, his base salary is $5.19 million. Like, most of the money from his rookie deal is this year.
Right.
And maybe making the Pro Bowl actually has increased that a little bit.
That does usually kick in an escalator.
Okay.
That kicks in escalators for fifth-year options. I'm not quite sure about how it does for second-round picks.
Some way or another, Spotrac has his base salary this season at $5.1 million.
Okay.
So if you come to him and say, yeah, we want to do it for 8, I mean, how excited is he to do that? Like, I'm getting an extra $2 million.
Well, it's important to always know an extra $2 million. If he wants 15, like, oh, perfect. Here, we'll give you $15 million right now, and your average annual value for this 3-year contract is 9. You know,
right?
That's the thing about being a player in this league. You want to get paid. These teams will offer you sign on the dotted line, and you will have $17 million guaranteed right now. To say he wants 15, well, you want 4 years and, you know, $60 million, that's not going to happen. If that were the number on the piece of paper that Ian Rappaport tweets out, Cook agrees to this deal, how much of it is actual money that he's going to get? I mean, these deals are not what they're reported.
Yep.
So to just say I want 15 isn't even really helpful for the GM. Like, well, what structure? What are we talking about here, you know?
Right. Right. Is that what you want, like, it to be read on, you know, social media? Do you just want to be known as the second highest paid running back in football when AAV?
Yeah, that they want. One, I'm going to get paid, and two, it's about being paid what I'm worth, and it's about the league seeing that my organization respects me on a level. Like, why are the Bills going to redo Josh Allen and pay him as one of the top 2-3 quarterbacks? Because he has earned that, and because it's a level of respect that you're going to get in there.
Yeah.
803-0550. We'll get a call on this. Gordon in Buffalo. Hey, Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, boys. That price of $15 million per year just seems way too lofty in this running back market. If that's something James Cook would like to discuss with the organization and they tell him that, yeah, that's just not something that could happen, whether it be now or after this year, is a trade for Crosby with Cook in a third? Like, is trading Cook in a third for Crosby a viable option?
I don't ever consider trading a running back a viable option.
Because
I just don't know a team that would do it. The Colts did it for Trent Richardson way back.
The only reason I'm even thinking about it here is because you picked a team that has Pete Carroll as his head coach, who has been overvaluing running backs for like a decade.
But you could just draft a running back. I can't, not to say it's wrong. Any sort of offer that includes trading a running back that has tread on the tire and is about to get paid sounds like the dumbest thing a team would ever do. So I kind of feel like it would never happen.
I'm pretty sure it would never happen, but once in a while. You got to find the sucker. Sucker once in Houston that traded his best receiver for a running back.
Right.
Right, David Johnson for DeAndre Hopkins.
That's pretty dumb.
Is there a sucker? Like, that's where I'm wondering about a 73-year-old Pete Carroll. Like, is he the sucker?
Maybe, but he has
invested way too much in running back in his last years.
Wouldn't he just draft a running back with a top 10 pick? Or where's Seattle even picking? Seattle's somewhere up there.
Well, no, L.A., Vegas.
Vegas. Vegas is sixth.
So would he rather have Ashton Jeanty?
Maybe. It's cheaper. I mean, it's a big asset. But Seattle's draft pick is 18th. You know? And by the way, or sorry, you're right. Carroll is in Vegas, not Seattle.
Carroll's in Vegas.
Make that mental adjustment.
Yeah.
They're picking sixth. I just can't. I don't get to a spot where I can even ever. If they could trade a running back about to get paid in a deal that gets you a premier defensive end. They should do it 100 times out of 100, and the GM of the other team should be fired on the spot.
Yes.
So, I mean, would I do it? Yes. I would not even think twice.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Joe, we know this is serious because it appears I'm at an Instagram account called Bills Notify that Cook has unfollowed the Bills on Instagram.
Ooh.
We're at DEFCON 3.
No, come on. That doesn't get you DEFCON 3, does it?
The scale goes the other way. It goes from 4, 3, 2 to 1.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's DEFCON 3.
DEFCON 3.
Publicly saying what he wants in terms of $15 million and an unfollow on social? This is hitting. This is going.
Well, what DEFCON are we at then? If I think that there was a TSN interview that Dawkins did with TSN at the Super Bowl, where he ran into Myles Garrett like in the hall, and that reporter, I didn't check this myself, but when that reporter was talking to Dawkins, one of the questions was about how Myles Garrett only follows two teams on social media on Instagram: the Browns and the Bills.
All right,
that's it.
That's DEFCON 3.
So we're both at DEFCON 3. Here we go. All right, Cook for I don't think Cleveland are suckers. I don't think you could trade James Cook in a Myles Garrett package. I don't think.
No.
Who are the suckers? Pete Carroll and Jerry Jones. There we go. That's who. Come on. Jerry Jones would give you something for James Cook right now, wouldn't he? Would he give you your second-round pick back?
I can't. I
come
can't.
On. He would. He's.
I can't rule
that's
it
the
out.
Guy. That's the guy.
I cannot take any trade of Cook seriously as him being a piece that gets you something bigger. I don't understand how that would work.
I'm going to look. How many trades have there been in the league involving running backs that weren't the David Johnson trade? I can't think of many, but I can't. There's got to be a couple somewhere or another, right? About to get paid is the thing, though, because that's where you need a sucker, because. Cook, could you like love the idea of paying him? The one thing about Cook that's different about other running backs about to get paid is tread on the tires. Like I looked at Dalvin Cook for this yesterday. I don't have the number in front of me. I'll get it. But Dalvin Cook, if you look at the totality of the touches that he had in his career, college and pro, by the time it was time for him to get a second contract in the NFL, it's like more than double what James Cook is right now. Because Cook had never really been a featured back until last year. Like, for 2 years, he's gotten a pretty sizable workload. And even that, like, he only plays 50% of the snaps versus guys like Dalvin Cook or Le'Veon Bell when he got paid right around now that have been getting force-fed for, like, 8 years if you take him back to college.
803-0550 to join us. All right. A Cook saga. This is where this is the prequel to 3 years from now, someone saying all the drama with James Cook in finger quotes, right? Once you post on social media like two times.
That's it.
We're gonna be on cryptic tweet alert. Get ready. If he writes something along the lines about being appreciated or this or that, all right, here we go. Gonna be a little bit of a spicy offseason after all. retweeting the guy that says if you don't think he's worth 15, your head you got dropped through a table on your head is bold.
Yeah.
All right, off and running. Heck of a player. I think he's a good player. I think he's worthy of an extension for the Bills. I wonder how they feel about him going public with it. 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. U.S. and Finland tonight. Revenge game for Finland.
Revenge game. Yeah, what do we do to Finland?
Beat them in the 1980 gold medal game.
It was weird, right? I don't think it was the gold medal game. They needed to win for the gold. I don't think Finland could have won the gold that day, though.
No, it was
I thought that it was like it was like the Premier League. Like it was whoever finished with the most points at the end of it. Am I wrong on that?
You're telling me the 1980 Olympics was not an actual bracketed tournament?
I thought there was a different.
It was just a point system.
Yeah, I'll find it in the break. I think it was a weird format.
Okay.
I don't think that was just the gold medal game. I might be wrong on that. I'm pretty sure, though, it wasn't just the gold medal game. I'll look.
If you're right about that,
yeah,
then
Finland finished fourth in the 1980 Winter Olympics ice hockey. They finished fourth. They did not get a medal.
I learned something today. I did not know that.
Yeah. It went U.S. gold, Soviet Union silver, Sweden bronze.
So if Finland had won, what would they have picked up? a metal? Had to be a metal.
I think so, yeah. We'll get it to you when we come back. We got a break.
All right. Well, revenge game nonetheless. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Quick note from the Four Nations, very quick. Pierre LeBrun pointed out the TV timeouts in this tournament, Joe, are 30 seconds longer than NHL games.
Yes.
And intermissions are 1 minute shorter.
Yep.
And that's something the NHL may want to do for the 25-26 season. So it's a small tweak, but you might have it where commercial load is moved out of intermissions and more into just the regular actual period.
Yep.
Intermissions would get shorter, which... You know, I don't know if that's a trade I would want. I'm not sure I would even notice, but yeah. Something to monitor.
Very quickly, so this was the final round of what format for the Miracle on Ice 1980 Winter Olympics. So it was the top two teams from each group. So there were two groups of four. Eight teams total. Actually more than that, but whatever. Top two teams from each group play the top two teams from the other group once. Points from previous games against their own group carry over, excluding teams who failed to make the medal round. So the U.S. had already played Sweden, so that game carried over into the final round, but they had not played the Soviet Union or Finland, which meant they would play the Soviet Union and Finland. Whoever had the most points after those three games would be the winner. So the U.S. went 2-0-1, Soviet Union went 2-1-0. Which is why they won.
Gotcha.
So there was an outcome where the Soviet Union could have lost to the U.S. in the Miracle on Ice game and then still won the gold medal had the U.S. not beat Finland.
Gotcha.
Which would have felt very weird.
Boy, the debate shows would have gone nuts with that one. You know?
How much did it even really matter?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Paul Hamilton coming up at 8:30. Joe and I have a fun draft game at 9. I'm stepping aside for a minute. excuse me, sorry. 803-0550, though, if you want to jump in and be a part of the show or chat on the chat, whatever you got. It's Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.